Broderick Jones continues to impress in OTAs, what that means for the offensive line, and more offensive line talk here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting app and especially on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it on YouTube. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making us your first listen every day because we're your team every day. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Now, we talked about Joey Porter Jr. and Corey Trice on the Friday episode, which was good. They've looked solid. They've impressed people. But so is Broderick Jones, and he's the biggest of the rookies. Literally, he's the biggest. But he's also the first-round pick that they traded up to get in the first round. And there's a lot of hope being pinned on him as a guy who could be the answer that the Steelers have been looking for at the left tackle position for a long time. You think back to the guys who play left tackle for the Steelers, they've always been like solid veterans that they've brought in or guys that have filled in, but they've never been the key piece of the offensive line. Broderick Jones has the potential to do that. That's why I made him my top offensive tackle in this draft class. I ranked him as the eighth best player in this draft class before the draft even happened. So to me, I think that worked out for the Steelers. But there's always the question, how are they going to fare? How are they going to play out? And all the notes that we're getting in OTAs that we're hearing from players is that he's living up to the hype. He's an exceptional athlete, and he's learning fast on the job. Dan Moore Jr. called him a smart kid and an insane athlete, saying that there's a crazy ability within him. He says he's going to be someone special. And this is Dan Moore Jr., who we know Broderick Jones is coming for the job that he's had for the last 2 years. But also there's the note that, you know, Dan Moore Jr. has been flipping to the right side a little bit more in OTAs. Now, again, all these are walkthroughs, and OTAs don't mean everything. They're just, you know, football in shorts, and it's just the coaches trying to get the early installs of, hey, these are the things we want you guys to know when you get to training camp so that we can really get to work. These are the preliminaries of the preliminaries of the preliminaries. So, like, I know people, you know, ask, well, is he running first team? Is he running second team? He runs kind of all of them right now because they're getting him experience at different spots. They're moving guys around. That's part of what's happening here. But the important part is, how is he learning? How is he taking on the different challenges that he has? And how is he taking to the veterans, you know, working with him? And I think that is what's going to be interesting. And I talked to Broderick Jones about this last week during OTAs. Here's Broderick Jones in the Steelers locker room last week.
I really don't feel like it's just one set person, you know. Like, even talking to the defensive guys. So, you know, just like it's a whole bunch of people, you know, just like in my ear. So it's really not one set person that I can just think of off the top of my head. So. A little bit, because once he goes to the right, you know, I have to step up and play on our first left tackle. So at the end of the day, everybody's getting reps all around the board. So, you know, just taking it day by day, rep by rep, trying to get better. Sort of, kind of, but the defense rotates so much, I'm always going against different people at different times. So, you know, it's really not a big difference to me. You know, it's good playing like next to older guys like Isaac. He's a good person to be around, you know. He's cool, calm, collected, you know. So just sitting back watching him, the way he plays, the way he takes it, everything day by day, you know, it's a good reminder for me how to, you know, just sit back, relax, you know, not overthink things, and just, you know, just play the game of football.
So there you hear it right there. Broderick Jones saying he's been playing next to Isaac Seumalo, who we know has been playing with the first team offensive line. Broderick Jones is getting the reps, the mental reps to be there. But the biggest thing about Broderick Jones, and this is if you go back to the things that we said about him on this show and on other shows when we were talking about this draft class and whose strengths were strengths and whose weaknesses were their weaknesses. I said the biggest thing about Broderick Jones is that he has all the tools. He just has to be willing to hear the coaching and apply it to his game. His weak spot is just finishing with technique, using the proper technique to maximize the skills of his size and the assets that are naturally there for him. And also just to keep the aggression and that's another thing that some of the Steelers talked about with Broderick Jones. He is an aggressive guy. He's an aggressive player, but also know how to temper that, how to mix that with your technique so that you're being aggressive, but you're doing it with sharp movements that are more coordinated. Guys like TJ Watt do that a lot. TJ Watt's a very aggressive player. He tries to set the tone against you every play, but he also has several moves at his disposal that can catch you off guard, and he's honed how to use those moves in different ways over the years. It's going to take Broderick Jones time to figure that out, but the fact that he's getting this kind of praise early on in OTAs, good sign. And again, not the world. It doesn't mean that he's ready to be an all-pro this year. It just means that he's taking the right steps. Here's Isaac Seumalo when he was talking about it. He said, Broderick's got all tools and all the athleticism in the world. He says, but obviously the offensive line is one of the things that takes time and experience. There are very rare guys that can come in and play right away. I think Broderick possesses those tools. And when I hear Isaac Seumalo saying something like that, he's praising the rookie, and he's tempering as well. He's like, hey, I'm not saying that this guy is going to come out and, be a world breaker as a rookie. It's a lot of pressure to put on a young guy, but I think he can come in and play well, and he can use his tools well, and he's going to make mistakes, but he's also going to have the athletic skill set to sometimes make up for those mistakes and also win more often than he loses. And here's the other thing about this, because I know there's some people out there that are skeptical. His biggest weakness was just his form and pass protection when he was at Georgia. And some people are wondering, well, if he's going to be the starting left tackle and they're going up against Joey Bosa and the long line of really strong pass rushers like Myles Garrett in week two and all the other guys the Steelers face early, isn't Kenny Pickett going to be a little exposed? I think that people got to remember that, like, the Steelers, with the way that they've done things the last few years, they have operated and with ways to protect certain guys that have been young coming into their organization. Dan Moore Jr. started as a left tackle in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers when he had to protect Ben Roethlisberger's blind side. And Ben Roethlisberger was at that time a wiser quarterback because he had been around the league for 16 years or however long it had been. But he was nowhere near the old athletic Ben where he would just dodge three guys and then throw a 50-yard bomb. Those days were long gone. I think that the Steelers will find a way to, one, help Broderick Jones. They brought, having Isaac Seumalo next to him, I think is very crucial because he's a guy that seems like a great teammate and a great player to learn from. Broderick Jones, you heard praising him as well. I think it's also going to be natural for the Steelers if they're looking at a side that they want to slide protection to, maybe leave an extra tight end in there, maybe Darnell Washington so that the Georgia guys can be next to each other, maybe Najee Harris if you're in the shotgun, he lines up on the left side of Kenny Pickett to help Broderick Jones if there's anyone missing. But those are slight adjustments, and comparing to the adjustments the Steelers have had to make over the past few years just to function, whether it was Kenny Pickett being a rookie quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger being the oldest version of himself that was extremely limited in his mobility. The Steelers have found so many different ways to navigate things. I don't think that this would be some major kryptonite that would cause a big problem for the offense unless Broderick Jones wasn't good. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that he's going to be a very strong player. We got more offensive line things to talk about and how they're meshing together. Talk to one of the vets on the offensive line as well. And we'll get into how that's meshing with Broderick Jones, all here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So stay tuned. We're going to be keeping up on that topic. But first, before we do any of that, I want to remind you guys, this show is sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook, the number one sportsbook in America. And the NBA finals are on fire right now. The Miami Heat went into Denver, the place that everyone said they couldn't go and win, and did just that. Now it's 1-1 going back to Miami. The best place to bet on what's going to happen next, FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And right now, FanDuel's giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet on FanDuel.com doesn't win. So to get that, go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. You can sign up today, claim your no-sweat first bet. You can bet on Nikola Jokic getting a triple-double. You can bet on Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler, maybe being the finals MVP. You can bet on who you think is going to win the series or just win each game. Either way, you can do it on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $2,500 back at bonus bets when you join FanDuel today by going to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We continue our talk about the offensive line and where they're going with things. First, before we do that, I want to remind you guys, we still have our campaign going for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Please donate anything you can to the link that I provided in the on-screen or in the description of this show, whether it's on YouTube or your favorite podcasting app. Or if you are watching this on YouTube, just use that QR code and you can go send it right to your phone, use that link, donate to that. And if you donate $10 while asking a question, you get your question on the show at least within a week of your donation. So thanks everyone who's done that. And we have another caller to call in here, and it was a question about the offensive line, and I thought it was a legitimate question that would open the lane to some other discussions we could have about the offensive line. We had our friend Jesse Saldivar calling all the way from Colton, California. Here's Jesse.
Hey, what's up, Chris? Jesse Saldivar, Colton, California. I just had a quick question. With Kevin Dotson being so much in the, I feel like he's been talking a lot in the media recently. Do you think he's doing it out of like spite and like being jealous of everybody that the Steelers have brought in, or do you just think he's doing it from like an objective like standpoint, like saying Broderick Jones probably won't play his rookie year and just things of that nature? Yeah, just give me your standpoint on Dotson and where you see him going forward and just how you feel on the line and the progressions they're making. Thank you. Have a good day. Love the show.
Well, thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you calling. I'm glad you love the show. I remember you can call in at 412-223-6644 anytime you got a question. And again, if you donate $10 to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation through the campaign link that I've provided, then you will get your call on the show within at least a week of your donation. But now, let's get to Jesse's point here. Now, let's clear up some things about what Kevin Dotson has said. Kevin Dotson, you know, it's not as if Kevin Dotson is going on a radio show and talking about these things. He is just answering questions while he's in the locker room. And I don't think that he's doing anything too egregious right now. If you remember about a week or two ago when we had Jeff Hathorn on from 93.7 The Fan, he brought up, he was like, hey, Kevin Dotson informed us that, like, you know, how it felt throughout the free agency period when they signed Nate Herbig, the offensive lineman from the Eagles, the first offensive lineman from the Eagles. He was told by a player by a person from the Steelers front office that, hey, that's not about you. Don't worry about it. You're still the guy. But then when they signed Isaac Seumalo, they did not tell him the same thing there. And so he kind of knew what that was. And after that, I mean, sure, I think he's talked about Broderick Jones. I don't think he said anything egregious, and I don't think that he feels defeated. I think he feels a little, maybe there's definitely some disappointment there and some obvious things you have to deal with when, you know, the job that you thought might be yours as a starter in the NFL is taken from you. But he still seems to be very upbeat. He's interacted with Broderick. Here was a video of me just talking to Kevin Dotson just last week. In fact, the same day that I talked to Broderick Jones in that video. Listen to Kevin Dotson just talking about the offensive line and where they're at.
Yeah, I'm at left, but, you know, all I can do is work on the mental things and just keep on, do whatever I can to give myself the best chance, you know. It was almost like just a plug-in type thing. Like, nobody, it was never awkward. It's like first day joking. It's like they've been here the whole time. So it feels great to have that type of camaraderie.
Y'all started to prank Broderick yet? Or
yeah, we already starting on Broderick. It's you know, he got to go through it at least for the first year.
So a few things there. One, it was Kevin Dotson telling me, I asked him, like, are you guys starting to prank Broderick Jones yet because of, you know, hazing and happens with rookies. It's natural. The Steelers are especially do this a lot. And most teams do in all phases of sports. But like literally as soon as I turn the camera off, Broderick Jones comes over with all of the Steelers offensive linemen helmets like in his hands and like drops them down. Well, he's like, man, I was so tired. Y'all sort this out yourselves. I told y'all a little about that last week, but it was just very funny to see it happen. And just all the vets just kind of like chuckling as he brings those in there. But you hear Kevin Dotson, like he's interacting with them. He's still very much part of the team. He's working on what he can right now. It's just mental reps. Yeah, offensive lineman, you make your money off of being physical. You can't be physical in OTAs. It's just you're just kind of making sure you're doing the right thing. Take the right steps. Know the right adjustments. Communicate. Get on the same page with other people. That's what he's trying to do right now. And I think that, again, when you're talking about the offensive line, they brought back all the guys who started last year. Mason Cole, James Daniels, Chukwuma Okorafor, Dan Moore Jr., Kevin Dotson, all five of those guys. They're back, and they just added pieces to them, whether it's Siumalu, Herbig, or Broderick Jones. But I think the thing is that there's a culture there. These guys know what to expect of one another. There's communication already set up, and that's something that didn't exist going into last season. Remember, we were asking big questions. What's Mason Cole going to be like? What's James Daniels going to be like? You know, and how are they going to be fitting in with a very young offensive line with Chukwuma Okorafor, I believe, is still like 25 years old, and Kevin Dotson and Dan Moore Jr., who are both fourth-round picks. How is all of this going to work? Well, they figured that part out, and now they're capitalizing. So I think the offensive line is doing just fine to answer that part of Jesse's question. And thank you, Jesse, again, for your question. But now let's address the Kevin Dotson part of this. As you heard, like, I don't think Kevin Dotson is like checking out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's just acknowledged. It's just the natural feeling of you spent your whole life working to get to one specific league, one specific level of your profession, and you got there and you're busting your butt and you're working hard, but you're still getting replaced. And that's how cruel the NFL business can be. Like you think, but think about that in your own field, whatever you work in, whether it's in medical or law or I don't know, cooking and anything, you know, property, real estate, whatever. If you're if you're there and you get to that level and then that could be taken away from you in what's it been 2-3 years since he started like getting, you know, prominent snaps in the Steelers offense, you know, that's a tough thing. That's a tough pill to swallow, but he's swallowing it. And I think that he's handling it very professionally. You haven't seen him going on social media and leaving cryptic messages unless he has, and I just haven't seen them, but I don't see him doing that kind of stuff. He's just doing what he can. Like he said, he's taking the mental reps. He's trying to be as ready as he can. He's at left right now, but he's ready to be ready for whatever the Steelers might throw at him. And I think that's what you're supposed to do there. It's the same thing that Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky did last year when Mason Rudolph, you know, a guy who was the only quarterback coming from the Steelers before the 2022 season, who was on the 2022 roster. And then Mitch Trubisky came in, took his job in free agency, and then they drafted Kenny Pickett. And then effectively he went from maybe being the starting quarterback for at least a bridge year or two for the Steelers to being their third stringer. And you didn't hear him pout and mope and whine. He said, hey, I'm moving forward. The same thing with Mitch Trubisky. When he lost a job, well, both of those guys became assets to Kenny Pickett and helping him learn. I think Kevin Dotson is of the same ilk. He's a guy that's like, hey, like, I'm, you know, it's obvious. You're not going to lie. It's like, yeah, it's not great that I got benched, and I'd love to get my spot back. But I think he's handling it very professionally. I don't think there's anything really malicious back here, and I don't think that you were saying that there was, Jesse. I'm not trying to put anything bad on your words, but I think that there's always a question that is someone disgruntled in the situation, and there's disappointed, there's frustrated, but disgruntled and, you know, unhappy with the team. I don't sense that with Kevin Dotson. I don't think this is a Melvin Ingram situation, because we've seen a Melvin Ingram situation. But all that being said, I don't think Kevin Dotson, I mean, is he disappointed? Sure. But I don't think that he's at a position where he's trying to do something to the team, or he has nefarious agendas and plans, anything in his back pocket about how he's going to leave and how he demanded trade. none of that's the case. I think that he likes the group that he's with right now. He's going to be as ready as he can. And look, here's the thing. If he does start, great. If he doesn't, you know what? Then he can wait for his turn. We talked about last year how the Steelers were extremely fortunate to have their entire offensive line start every single game. That doesn't happen. The chances are going to regress to the mean with the offensive line. They're going to have injuries this year, and Kevin Dotson is going to need to be ready for if one of those injuries is a guard, and that he's ready to play that position for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that he's holding him to get himself together well. We'll talk more about how this offensive line does fit together and what they're going to be trying to do in this upcoming season in a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We continue our talk on this Monday episode about the offensive line. And I know I'm making this an entire offensive line episode, and some people might be like, Chris, I want to talk about the other positions. We talk about the other positions all the time. We're talking about the big dudes today. But I really think a big part of this is the Steelers have set themselves up, like we talked about with the secondary on Friday. There's veterans that know what to do, that know how to carry the weight to make it easier for the rookies, and especially the rookie in Joey Porter Jr., who is expected to get early playing time. I don't think that the offensive line is at that caliber because you don't have a Patrick Peterson coming in who's a future Hall of Famer. You don't have Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is the best safety in the NFL, and maybe someday he'll be a future Hall of Famer. I don't think you have those assets on the offensive line. But what you do have is real chemistry. Guys that worked together, lost together, fought together, and won together. They grew through a lot last year. I think that's part of what Kevin Dotson was talking about. It was just like, hey, like, you know, it's like coming back home when you get to be around those guys because of their closeness and how they understand each other and how they want to work together and how they were able to work together to become a better offensive line. That is very much what's going to help Broderick Jones. I think it's what's going to help Isaac Siomalu. And I think that Siomalu is going to fit in very quickly with that from what we've come to understand so far with the Steelers in OTAs here. And again, what does that mean if the Steelers offensive line does fit together in that way? If Broderick Jones at worst is just not a liability, at best, he's a major asset in both the run game and pass protection. Either way, if you get one of those two or both those two, as long as he's not a liability in the offensive line, you can, as I said before in the first segment, you can plan around that. You can send more help his way. You can work on things there until he solidifies his technique and he gets sharper there. And you can also design plays that put it so that sometimes you're getting the ball out a bit quicker because you're trying to protect his side. You're trying to make sure that he isn't giving up the big pass rush that's going to mess up Kenny Pickett. But I don't think they're going to need to do that too much because I think Broderick Jones is going to be ready. I think that he's going to be a guy that, and I'm not saying ready as in, completely, fully ready to go, doesn't need to learn anything else, and he's just about to be a superstar offensive tackle, but ready in the sense that he's ready to come in, take on challenges, learn from mistakes, grow from them, and be a better offensive tackle. He seems focused, he seems locked in, and all these things seem like very, very good aspects for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, let's look at this projected offensive line here we're talking about. Broderick Jones, your rookie offensive tackle you drafted on the left tackle position. Isaac Siomalu at the left guard position, who was just with the NFC champion Eagles and a big part of that. Jason Kelce giving him a lot of praise on his podcast for who he is and how the Steelers got a steal in just signing him for what they did. Mason Cole, a stabilizing presence in the middle, not dominant, but a stabilizing presence, a guy that can set the record straight, get everyone on the same page, and communicate well. That's a big part of what they need. They got that. He's there. Then you have James Daniels, who comes in, and he was kind of the guy that everyone was wondering how good he would be, and I thought he was pretty decent. So you got him, and then you got Chukwuma Okorafor, who's been around for like, 5 years now, and he's a really great size for the offensive tackle position. Still, I think needs to be better and more aggressive in his run blocking, but I think all in all, that's a strong group right there. And then if you have all those guys that know each other and already have that culture established, it's going to be that much easier for Broderick Jones to latch on to that, to become part of that. And heck, like you said, they're doing it already because he's having to bring things in, and he's having to carry helmets and everything. I think the Steelers offensive line is going to be further along this year than what maybe we've been projecting for a while now. I think the biggest thing, I was just like, man, just like if Broderick Jones to start week one, which I don't think there's an if anymore. I think he's going to, even if Broderick Jones even wasn't to start week one right away, you're going to have these guys communicate well oiled, ready to go, and how to take on the San Francisco 49ers. And to me, I think, and Brian McFadden, by the way, on All Things Covered, former Steelers Super Bowl champion, has a show with Patrick Peterson. I believe he said that he feels like he's extremely confident about the Steelers' chances against the Niners. And I told you, as soon as I saw the Niners with the first game of the season, I thought that was the best thing the Steelers could get there. It very well might be, because if this offensive line goes into a war with the San Francisco 49ers and Broderick Jones also being a part of that offensive line, and they come out victorious, I mean, that's a defense that went and added Javon Hargrave after they already had Bosa and all the other weapons that they've had up front. If you're able to get a group that can come out of that on the other side and feel good about themselves, they're not going to be afraid of another defensive line unit that ever comes through this year. They're going to be like, okay, we took on the Niners, we're good. To me, I just think that the Steelers have put themselves in a position where they have the vets to balance those moments. They have the talent to push forward and to win those battles. And I think it's a good place for the Steelers to be right now. And we talked about this offensive line being essential to what the plans are. And I also don't think the Steelers are done investing in the offensive line. They are this year. But I also think that they're going to invest maybe another first, second, third round pick at another position next year. I think that they want to rebuild a great offensive line to protect Kenny Pickett, to run block the ball, to not just be a good offensive line that catches you off guard and it's young and growing, but to become a great offensive line again, like they were in the middle part of the 2010s when David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Marcus Gilbert, they were together. And then you had Ramon Foster, Alejandro Villanueva, guys like that fitting in with them. But again, to get there, it's going to take time. And I do think that the offensive line, it took time for that group. I always bring up when Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro, I think it was the 2013 season, and David DeCastro in the first game of the year tried to cut block an opponent and took out Pouncey's knee, and Pouncey was out for the season. I don't think anything like that's going to happen to these guys, but it takes time to gel, even when you do know each other and you're coming back. But with Broderick Jones, I think that he's in a great situation of guys who are a community amongst themselves and the offensive linemen of the Steelers. And I think that that is a great place for him to learn. And if he does learn, and if he becomes not just a non-liability, but an actual asset to the offensive line on top of Siumalo, on top of this offensive line's chemistry coming from last season and the improvements that they were making, watch out, world. The Steelers might have some bullies up front on that offensive line, and they might be coordinated sooner rather than later and open up more opportunities for the Steelers to be a competitive offense, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball, or having that balance that we've been talking about for so long. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and we appreciate everyone who calls into the show at 412-223-6644, everyone who donates to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Again, donate by using the QR code on your screen right now, or going to the link that's attached in the description of this podcast or YouTube page, wherever you're consuming this podcast. And again, just thanks to everyone for being here every day and making us your first listen every day. I'm your host, Chris Carter. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday, getting you ready for week three of OTAs, the final week of OTAs, before we get to Steelers mini camp. We'll see you then right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.